about focus on the promise. Romans chapter 4, and we'll look at we'll parade and peruse verse 16 through verse 25. Amen. Verses 16 through verse 25. Amen. Romans. When you have that, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Romans chapter number 4. Verse number 16 says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers, doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. As we said, we're focusing on the promise, and the title tag and the thought. So this message on today would be stand and don't stagger. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody, say stand. Amen. And don't stagger. Amen. Amen. When we look at the book Romans, I always like to make sure that we understand and know that the book of Romans is what we would call Paul's gospel, because in it gave every detail of how to be saved by grace through faith. It is Paul's best argument of faith by grace and not by works. Paul understood this because he understood first the law, and he understood that the law could not do what Jesus Christ had done. Amen. And so Paul felt that the Romans, the citizens, or the people who lived at Rome, the church that was at Rome, needed to understand this better than anybody else. So he wrote this letter to them and let them know to understand that you're saved by faith through grace alone and not of works. Amen. And so in his writing here, we find that he's talking about Abraham, which is the greatest example. Paul says that I have to use the greatest example that I can use to teach you and talk to you about how faith is not by works, but by that salvation or grace or the promises obtained not by works, but by faith. Because even before the law, God made a promise that he kept through the law. I wish I had somebody. And so when we start talking about it, we have to, you know, keep the law and do the law in order to have salvation or grace or to be favored by God. That's not the case, because we have to first understand who he is and have faith in him. He said he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? And so Abraham, he held a unique position he has a unique position in the world, because he is the father of basically three religions, the Abrahamic religions, are Islam and Christianity and Judaism. And so these three major Abrahamic religions came because of him and because his children believed that there was one God. Amen. And so he's basically the founder, as we would call it, of the Jewish or the Hebrew nation. And Abraham, he had a request from God that was very, very different than anybody else. Abraham had been in his father's house. And let me just, can I give you some legend? It's not, you won't just find this in the Bible or in certain books, but some legend. Abraham was the son of Nahor, who happened to be one of the captains in Nimrod's army. You remember Nimrod? And so he was a person back then they served idols. So Abraham had to leave. God told him, he gave him instructions. He said, just leave your family, leave your job, leave your kindred, and go to a place I'll show you. Abraham was given a request by God that many of us would not have answered. First point I want to make here is that you got to have faith in the promise. Because sometimes God will not give you details, but he'll give you a promise. That's why I know that many of us would not have done what Abraham did, because we got to have all the details. We got to know what they look like. We got to know what color it is. We got to know when I need to stop and go. We give up too easy. Because, Lord, I've been gone for a week now, and I ain't seen nothing yet. But Abraham walked and walked and walked. That's why it's called a walk of faith. Because he walked for years. Oh, I don't hear nobody. And he did not give up. Y'all don't hear me here. And so all he had was a promise. He did not have details. And you know one thing about Abraham? His faith preceded his obedience. What do I mean by that? I mean, he didn't wait to obey God until he started to see it. But many of us, we only obey God when we start seeing that God is moving on our behalf. Oh, then we're bold. You can't tell me what God won't do. Won't he do it? You know, we get to willy wonny, we know how we do, and we get to bragging, posting on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, won't he do, and we won't do that until we see that God is moving, or as they say, leaning in our direction. We can't wait till God lean in our direction. We have to have faith that he's faithful to do what he promised that he would do. Anybody in here got faith? See, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so, therefore, even though I don't see it, I got it. Anybody got it today? And so God gave him a request that he hadn't given anybody else. And since he gave him that request, and he was the one, and maybe somebody else had the same request, but they just chose not to go. Because Abraham had to leave the comfort of being around people he loved. He had to leave not only that, but if he worked, he had to leave his job. Come on and say amen. And look at this. Abraham had to leave he didn't have much money. He had to just go. And you know, sooner or later, whatever little food you got. What was the food? Let me tell you something. There was no supermarkets. He didn't carry a refrigerator with him. You know, some cars now got a little bit of refrigerator in them. He didn't have that. Here he was walking through wildernesses and deserts and not knowing where the next meal was going to come from, but he had to trust God. Not only am I going to get fed, but everybody with me. See, when you're a person of faith, let me share this with you, your reputation even precedes you. Because when he decided to go, Lot went with him and some family members. God told him to leave your family. But because Abraham was such a person of a contagious faith, they said, Abraham, if you trust God, we're going to walk with you. Is there anybody in here today that can say that I found some people who have faith in God, that if they're walking with God, I just walk with them? Amen. Abraham said, I have faith in the promise. Look at this. He says, for when we look at verse number 16, it says, therefore, he's talking about all the stuff that he said before this. Now he's trying to bring it to a connection and a close. He says, therefore, it is faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, God made a promise in Genesis 12, 14, 17, and 21 to Abraham. He told him, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And out of that, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He promised him that. He told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to take you to a land and I'm going to show you where it is. Abraham didn't have a map. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have Google or GPS on his phone, iPhone. He didn't have none of that to guide him where he was going. His guidance and his coordinates was from God. He didn't have a map to say, okay, we can go here and then there. And you know what? He didn't even know what land, what the people of the land was all about. But what he knew is that the God that I serve will protect me. The God that I serve will guide me. Anybody have that kind of faith that God will protect me, that God will guide me, that God will be my bright and morning star? I wish I had somebody. So he says that he believed that the promise, that this promise that God had given him, that by grace, not because he had done the right things all the time, because we know that on this journey, Abraham lied, and he had Sarah lying with him. He did. On this journey, in his faith walk, he made a few mistakes. Y'all don't hear me here. Now, his heart was right, but sometimes fear set in, and he said, you know what? This man might kill me, Abimelech, or the king of Egypt. He said, this man might kill me, so let's not tell him that you're my wife. Just tell him that you're my sister. And one night, he thought, the king thought he was going to go, you know, and try to serenade Sarah, and, you know, late in the midnight hour. And the Lord put him to sleep and said, let me show you something. Don't touch this man, because he's my prophet. And all of a sudden, the king got up and said, Abraham, you tried to mess me up and my family. And look at this. God's, it's so good. God sent Abraham with nothing. Took him to a place where he was in fear. But look at the grace of God. Even though he had fear, God made the king bless him. He said, here, take some money. Take some cows and some sheep. He said, now get out of here. Look at how God did that. Even though Abraham was a bit shaky in his faith, he was a little bit fearful. And sometimes on our walk, we got to understand that sometimes we will have a little bit of fear and doubt that comes up, but don't have unbelief. There's a difference. When you have unbelief, that means you don't believe it. But sometimes, even in your walk of faith, you'll have moments in your life where you start to wonder if this is the right thing. Did I make the right move? And it's okay, because that means that you're going to pray now to see if God is giving you the right direction. Sometimes that doubt make you go back to your knees. I wish I had somebody. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think and I don't know if this is the right thing, it makes me inquire of God, and God will give me direction from there. And so don't get all your feathers all ruffled whenever you have a little bit of doubt that comes in your heart. You go right back to where you know that God will speak to you, right back to where you know you can get that confidence and that faith back in God. It's a difference. Remember, tell somebody, it's a difference between unbelief and doubt. Amen. And so sometimes we do have doubt. Remember when Jesus, the Bible said that this man wanted his son to be healed or to be delivered from the demonic forces that was plaguing him. And they brought this boy to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do nothing about it. And all of a sudden, he came to Jesus. He said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do nothing with him. And Jesus said, do you believe? He said, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I believe you can do it. I wouldn't have brought him here if I didn't believe it. But I'm doubting a little bit because your disciples couldn't do it, and they did it for everybody else. So help my unbelief. All he had was a little bit of doubt. That's what that really means. He had a little bit of doubt. And Jesus healed the boy. Delivered him from the demonic forces. Y'all with me? And so when we look at Abraham, he says that in verse number 16, he says that it might be sure to all thy seed. For sure, the seed of Abraham. And we got to understand that there, the seed of Abraham, it goes further than the flesh. And I know there's brothers that say, well, it's only the flesh. If you're born Hebrew by the flesh, then that's it. But it's more than that. Look, the Bible says that God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you as many children or many nations going to come out of you as the sand of the sea. That means the dirt. That's the flesh. Right? We're made of the dirt or the dust of the earth, right? Then he said, Abraham, look up to the heavens, and I'm going to give you as many children as the stars of the heaven. That means that there's a heavenly, there's some sons that are not going to be of the flesh, but they're going to be connected through God. And so we are the seed that is connected. I wish I had somebody. If we're connected by the flesh, the Hebrew, or if we are connected by faith through God. Amen. And so he says it's going to be sure to the seed, not only to that which is of the law. Look at that. And also that which is by what? Faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Look at this. He said, it's God that quickens the dead. It's God that gives life. God gives life. The word quicken means life. And he says, not only that, he says, but he called those things that be not as though. And the word call it, if you look in your Bible, it should have ETH on the end. That means that he continues calling. Amen. Y'all hear me here? Amen. He continues to call those things that be not as though they were. He calleth those things that be not as though they were. And so even though it don't look good is what it's saying, that God can call it good. Preach. Yeah. Even though it don't look well, God can call it well. Come on. Even though it don't look favorable, but God can call it favorable. Y'all with me in here? So I don't care what your situation is, what you're going through. If God has promised it to you, then even though it looks bad, God will still make it well. Because he called it that. See, we're too concerned about what people call it. We're too concerned what we call it, what the doctor call it, but I'm concerned with what God calls it. See, they can call you cursed or no good or rotten, but God said you're blessed. I wish I had some. They can call you everything, but God calls you a child of his. Y'all don't hear me in here. And so that's his promise to you, and we got to get to a place where we let God call it instead of everybody else. You know, I don't get worked up for when people call me whatever they call me. I don't get worked up about that because I know what God calls me. He calls me his son. He calls me blessed. He calls me the apple of his eye. He called me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Y'all don't hear me in here. That's what he said about me. And so I don't know what they say about me, but it doesn't matter because the master of the universe already called me what he called me. I wish I had. You know how it is. Some people just can't call you nothing good. They got to call everything. They call you everything and talk about you like you got a tail and all of that. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you got a tail. I got a tail to tail. That God will make a way. God will change somebody. God will take an alcoholic. I wish I had somebody. He'll take a drug addict, a drug dealer. He'll turn your life around. He'll make you what he wants you. I got something to say about what they have to say, that it's all right to talk about what I used to be, but thanks be to God that he changed me, rearranged me. He fixed my heart. He changed my mind. He opened up my eyes. Now I can see how he wants me to see. Y'all still with me in this house? I'm just still in my first point. We have to have faith in the promise. We have to have faith in the promise. Look at this. He says, who against hope believed in hope. Now, that don't really sound like, you know, you can make easy sense. You know how you can look at some, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Now, you got to really dig into this. He said, who against hope. Now, what he was saying here is that Abraham, even though it hadn't happened for nobody else, and that was, you know, he hoped against that. Even though he was not in the best shape as a 100-year-old man, he hoped against that. Y'all don't hear me. Even though all of the natural things were against it happening, he put his hope up against that. Anybody got any hope? Would you put your hope up against something that they said you couldn't do? Would you put your hope up against some things? I wish I had some people. I wish I had some people that'll put their hope. They said financially you can't get it. But I put my hope up. All I, look, y'all don't hear me. All I got, I may not have the money, but I got the hope. I may not have the support, but I got the hope. Yeah, yeah, I may not have the strength. Y'all almost got it. A few of y'all got it. May not have the strength, but I got the hope. I may not have the intelligence. I may not have the paper. Y'all don't hear me. I'm a witness here. God will put you where some folks say you can't be. And all you got, I put my hope up against that. You know, it's kind of like gambling. I know, so y'all can understand what I'm saying. You know, you gamblers, card players, casino visitors. You know, it's kind of like gambling. You put, you know, what you got to put up again? I'm putting that up in hope. In hope. If we would treat our hope like we treat our money. You walk different when you got money in your pocket. You act different. Some folks you don't even want to talk to because you got money. Oh, here he come. Now, y'all used to beg together, but now you got money. Oh, here he come. I'm going to leave my money in the car because I know he's going to ask me. I don't have nothing but a card, man. I ain't got no cash. I don't care cash no more. See, hope ought to make you act like you do when you got money. I got, and you know what? Sometimes when you got hope and you let people know that my hope, I got my hope up against some stuff, they think you're arrogant. Because you trust God. I trust God. I don't care what you say. Oh, you're just arrogant. No, I got hope. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Y'all don't hear me in here. Anybody got hope? If you got hope, keep hope alive. You know, I like that. I like what when Jesse coined that phrase in the 80s when he was running for president. He said, keep hope alive. And it made people just get excited about what was going to happen. I don't know, y'all, none of y'all ain't old enough to remember that. But I remember him saying, keep hope alive. And it became a common phrase in African-American households, keep hope alive. We would pass each other and say, keep hope alive. Amen. We would. And then we got a man, look, this is what hope would do. Then we got a man that said, the audacity of hope. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Barack Obama's book is called The Audacity of Hope. Do your hope have audacity? In other words, the audacity of hope. You know, do your hope have the nerve enough to believe that God will? Do your hope have the nerve enough to believe that God will heal you of a cancer that the doctor said could not be? Do your hope have the audacity to tell the creditors that God's going to pay my bills? Okay, I might as well stop. That's the best I had. Yeah. Who again so believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. It is important that we hear what God has said and not what everybody else said. We cliche stuff to death. We say everything that everybody else is saying, but what about what God is saying? We can quote Socrates, we can quote Maya Angelou, and I love her, but we can quote everybody else. But what about what God said? Now, and the thing about it is that hope doesn't work on what everybody else is saying. Your faith in what everybody else has said is nothing. But when you put faith in what God has said, he said that he look at this. He says that according to what that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He had faith in that what God said, not about him, but about his seed. That was the most important thing. That what God said don't end with me. Y'all don't hear that. What God said is bigger than I am. And so whatever he said, it doesn't end with me. But whenever God does it in my life, somebody sees that God is real through me, then it magnifies God. How did God take a man from a place that he walked from, a prosperous place? He left it and he walked, and you know, maybe he might have rode a camel or what have you. But how did God take that man and he walked away from where he was, and he left from where he was, and he did not, amen. I'm gonna just wait because the baby crying, everybody looking. Amen. Because I don't want you to miss it. Amen. There we go. All right. Right here. There we go. All right. How could God take this man from where he was with nothing and give him a promise, not just to him, but to his seed, and he walk away, and every time God blessed him, you know, I want to show you how blessed Abraham was. Abraham, in his house, he began to grow people. He began to build people, and he began to teach them how to war and how to be like him. And that's important. That's what we got to do. We got to teach people how to war. In Abraham's house, there's 470 men that when Lot and his, and when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah and the other little cities down there, there were some kings that came up against those cities and they took them captive. And because Lot was among the captives, Abraham went to go fight. Abraham took the 400-some men that he had in his camp with him, that he had trained by his own hand, that he had spent time with, that had a walk with him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They walked with him while he walked with God. That's how you train people. Let them walk with you as you walk with God. And so Abraham went on this walk, and he got these people. They went to battle. They won, and they beat these kings, and everything that was lost and taken was taken back, and then some. Now, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah decided that they were going to bless Abraham because Abraham gave them everything back that they needed. And they decided they were going to bless Abraham. And Abraham said, oh, no, you keep that because you ain't going to say that you made me great. I'm happy about this. Nobody else I am. Abraham said, hold it. You can keep your stuff. Because I won't let you say that you made me great. Because God is the one that's making me great. Y'all hear me here? And so Abraham didn't need what they had. But look at this. Whatever was left, the stuff that he took from the kings that he beat, it was so much of it left that he decided that he would give tithes to Melchizedek. He gave tithes to the prince of Salem. The Prince of Peace, Melchizedek, that's his name. And so Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's another message I won't get into because some of y'all won't be happy after I preach it because you know you love your money. But anyway, he gave tithe. He gave of his increase because God had blessed him. He said, I don't need what you got because God has given me my own stuff. Amen. Amen. Now, we understand that he had faith in the promise. Let's go on to the next one. He said, now you got to learn how to do this. You got to learn how to forget the problem. When you have faith in the promise, you can't keep remembering your problem and have the same feeling about your problem as if you have no faith. Should I say that again? Y'all got it. We got it? I'll say it again. Well, you got to have faith in God, right? And so you got to forget your problem and not feel your problem as if you have no faith. See, when your problem make you feel like you're faithless, then your problem has the best of you. And so I have to forget my problem. How do I do that? Now, look at what he says. Against hope, he believed in hope, right? We understand that. But then he says, look, that who believed, let me see, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham forgot about his own, his inadequacies. Abraham forgot about, look, not only did he forget what he felt and how his body was, but he forgot about the fact that Sarah was in, that she was not able to produce either. And then he decided to try to get her to produce. Y'all don't hear this. He forgot about the difficulties, he forgot about the impossibilities, and he stayed with it. Amen. What happened? He says, now, and not being weak in faith. Some of us are so weak in faith that we will not try to do what God said do. He considered not his own body. Abraham knew what he was capable of.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries.